once again to episode 7 of the No Shows Sportscast. My name is Trevor Koos, and I am once again joined by my good friend Mark Ling. We are going to get right into things today, but as I always do at the top of the show, I just want to mention the email and the blog in case you want to get a hold of us in any fashion. It's noshowssports@gmail.com is our email, and noshowssports.blogspot.com is where our blog is located. And we will be releasing our top 50 fantasy prospect list for all you baseball fanatics out there. That'll be in the next maybe 2 weeks. And so we're going to get right into it today. And we are recording on a Sunday. We hope to be releasing this later today. But we just, Mark and I, watched the Olympic gold game for ice hockey. I can safely say that that's the first time I've watched any part of an ice hockey game for like the last 5 years.
It's the first time I've watched an entire hockey game ever. I went to maybe a minor league or a preseason Sharks game with you once back in the day.
I remember that. Sacramento, yeah, preseason. Yeah. It was horrible rain.
Not sure I watched the whole game though. I was in the stadium for the whole game, but I watched this whole game and it was a good game from start to finish. The USA is scoring a goal. 25 seconds left, right at the end, to send it into overtime.
That was ridiculous. I literally jumped out of my seat when that happened.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, wait, was that the buzzer for the end of the period? Was that a goal? And then you see Zach Parise running over to and like doing that like jump into the glass kind of thing that everyone always does when they score a goal nowadays. And I have never been so thrilled about a sport that I really don't care about.
Yeah, I don't care about hockey at all. Canada should beat us at hockey, by all accounts. They should.
That it was so close just proves you know, the United States' superiority.
Yeah, so I was going to write a letter to Canada. I was going to say, "Dear Hat, you two games and an overtime to beat us at hockey from America."
Yeah, I think that's the second episode in a row we have a hat reference for Canada.
They are our hat.
But, you know, not the only event in the Olympics was the hockey game. There was, you know, I didn't even know that there were so many events. I mean, it's been 4 years, and I barely pay attention to the Winter Olympics anyway. And the United States actually came away with 37 total medals.
That's a Winter Olympics record.
Winter Olympics record, beating Germany, who previously held the record at 36, I believe.
Right.
And Germany actually came in second this year with 30. And Canada set their own record for gold medals with 14 out of their 26 were gold, which is impressive, but it's like speed skating and curling and hockey. Like, who cares, really?
Well, if you're going to say that about speed skating and curling and hockey, you say that about pretty much any sport in the Winter Olympics.
They're all pretty similar.
I would say hockey is probably like the most relevant, which is saying something because hockey is not relevant at all.
It's a reason why it was the closing game. I mean, the closing ceremonies are happening, you know, any minute at this point. And it when that's like the big hitter is the finale, like for the hockey.
It was a good game.
It was a good game.
It probably gonna be one
interested,
of the. Yeah.
But like it's no, you know, baseball or women's volleyball, or you know, even you know, I almost care about swimming and Michael Phelps more than I do about anything in the Winter Olympics.
Absolutely, it's not almost. Everyone cares more about Michael Phelps, especially in America, than any. I would say maybe only in America. I bet Canada cares way more about this hockey win than they care about Michael Phelps.
Well,
but
all like Canada and all the Nordic countries like Finland, Sweden, Norway, and everyone up north, Switzerland, Germany. Those are seem to be always the top countries. The top country from the southern hemisphere was South Korea, that came in sixth place.
Yeah.
Or seventh place, I mean, with 14 total medals, and then China had 11. But then, like, I mean, you got to go all the way down to 15th overall, Italy, and they only had 5 medals: 1 gold, 1 silver, and 3 bronze. So it's an Olympics that's heavily dominated by the Northern Hemisphere. And I'm actually not sure that Italy's not in the Northern Hemisphere now that I'm
But I'm checking that for you right
cold
now.
Weather countries, we'll call it. not, I mean, Italy is, anyone who's been there, that place can get up to like 100 degrees, humid, horrible, clothes sticking to you weather.
Yeah.
Not what you think about when you think about Winter Olympics.
So this is not a geography podcast for those of you listening and slapping your foreheads right now. Neither South Korea or Italy.
South Korea is not in the Southern Hemisphere?
It's well above the southern
Awesome.
it's well above the equator, my friend. In fact, it's more north of the equator than Texas and Florida.
Awesome. So I look like an idiot now, but we're gonna roll with it, not cut any of this out.
In fact, just by looking at it, I don't see any southern hemisphere, but I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's an African
I would
country.
hope Australia is in the southern hemisphere.
Yes, that's a good one. I didn't look at
Okay.
Australia. So,
18th overall, two golds and a
Australia,
silver.
yes. So now that we've been talking about the overall medal count, I have a couple scenarios that I want to throw your way.
Okay.
Would you rather set the world record for most medals total or most gold medals?
I think it depends because there's
I think they each set the record by one. I think they each beat it by
yeah.
one. So,
It was at yeah, the gold medals was at 13. It
yeah.
was either 12 or 13.
Yeah.
13 sounds right
I
though.
th I think I think with the Canada with the hockey win, I think they won. They set the record.
Okay.
So it was, yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, if I'm setting the record for gold medals as a country, but I'm 11 behind the first place medal winner that year. I mean, there's this interesting calculation where the gold, silver, and bronze are all weighted differently, and then it's like kind of a score that they add up.
Think they should do that.
They
It should be more official.
it's not they have that, and I was reading that somewhere, and US still came out on top
Yeah.
with that weighted system. So if I was gonna win the golds, I would wanna like have it be a dominating performance. And like, I mean, it is quite impressive, a home country doing that well.
So, in the other scenarios, would you rather be Great Britain, who won just one gold medal and no other medals, or would you rather be Croatia, who won two silvers and a bronze?
I would rather be Great Britain on any facet. You compare Great Britain to Croatia, doesn't really matter.
What about
I'm gonna be Great Britain.
Great Britain or Japan? Japan won three silvers and two bronzes, but no golds, whereas Great Britain only won one gold.
Two silvers and three bronzes?
Three
Three
silvers,
silvers,
two
two bronzes.
bronzes.
Showing my dyslexia a little bit there. I would take the multiple medals at that point.
You'd rather be Japan than Great Britain.
Yeah.
Okay, would you rather be Switzerland, who won six golds, three bronze, and no silvers for a total of nine? Or would you rather be France, who won two golds?
Switzerland. France, I don't. I'm never gonna pick France in any hypothetical situation.
Okay,
France
let me.
sucks.
All right, what
France sucks
about.
almost as much as Canada sucks.
See, I was also just gonna say Switzerland or Russia, which is apparently calling itself the Russian Federation now.
I
Again,
didn't know. I noticed that only when we were
yeah.
watching bobsledding randomly one
Again,
night.
this is not a geography podcast, so
But
don't worry
yeah,
about it.
I think overall, if it's considerably more medals or gold, I think a country does a lot better for itself with multiple medals, because that way you have multiple national heroes coming back, and it kind of, and then if it's in different sports, it kind of boosts the revenue for all those different sports for the next 4 years, and then you can maybe even build on that better than just I don't know who the winner of the Great Britain medal was, but I mean that's not going to do that much for Great Britain, and hopefully in 2 years when they're doing the Summer Olympics there. They can have a much better performance than just one gold medal.
Their gold medalist was Amy Williams, who won the gold in the women's skeleton, which is like a
Which is
luge, I think, except
badass.
for
It's luge
you on your
head
stomach.
first.
Yeah.
That's badass. Okay,
Yeah.
I'm more impressed with that gold. I mean, like it's also like skeleton, luge, bobsled. Those are all crazy ass sports.
I've seen Cool Runnings a good 30 times.
Yeah.
So I know a bit or two about bobsledding. I like
You're
to
a
think
bobsled expert,
I'm
basically.
basically I could have my own bobsled team if I wanted to. But I don't understand what it takes to be a better bobsledder than the next person. Because all in the movie, in Cool Runnings, all they do is lean and they pull the little cords at
The
the
front
beginning.
guy drives a little
Yeah.
bit,
So
yeah.
it's the start. I understand the start's a big deal because you have to run, you have to get
Yeah.
the handles in and stuff, but some of these things Don't seem like it takes any skill.
It's keeping, it's subtle, but keeping the bobsled from bouncing against the side of the track on straightaways, that can be a difference of like an eighth of a second, which, as we've come to learn in these Olympics, eighth of a second, huge ass amount of time in track too. I had no idea. I've just came to that realization, but eighth of a second, holy crap.
Yeah, but there are always these stories about this girl who took up ski jumping 2 years ago and now she's a gold medalist. Well, that's because you don't need to, ski jumping isn't that much different from skiing. You're just doing it in the air or whatever. So that's why people can pick it up so quick is because it's, first of all, they dedicate their lives to it. They work at Home Depot or whatever those commercials are during the day, and then they ski jump at night or however it works. I don't know, but these pretty simple, as far as athletic like achievements go, learning how to play football, learning how to be a quarterback takes so much more work than it does learning how to luge, where you just lay down on a sled and go really fast on ice.
But then, I mean, there's the difference between learning how to do it and learning how to do it to become the best in the world.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot of people that compete in these Olympics, and ratio athletes to medals, there really aren't that many. I mean, aside from teams, like the Canadian hockey team had like a lot of players, but if you're talking, the single sport competitions, there are compared to the amount of athletes. So it really is kind of like that top like half a percentile or even better than that to become a gold medalist in anything.
Yeah, so my point is that I think if there was as many people trying to dedicate their lives to being a Nordic combined specialist,
I don't even
then
know what that is.
it's like it's cross country or downhill skiing or whatever combined with ski jumping. It's a combined thing. So yeah, anyways, if there was as many people dedicating their lives to that as there were people who dedicate their lives to being a quarterback or being a pitcher or being, a point guard, I think the majority of these people in the Olympics would be less good than the people who, there's so many better athletes that are doing actual
Well,
sports.
the driver on the men's gold medal bobsled team is kind of like this short, stocky, balding guy.
Exactly. Imagine, could you imagine LeBron James, like the Cleveland Cavaliers?
He could not fit in a bobsled,
Well,
but
they'd make it bigger, but we could say like speed skating. Some really athletic person who is a super athlete, freak athlete, who instead of doing speed skating does basketball. If that person does speed skating, they're going to be better than Apollo Ono or whoever, whatever prodigy there is at speed skating.
Yeah, like Chris Paul and Adam Jones from the Orioles, someone like that who's a great athlete in his sport, but that's not all it takes to be great in his specific sport if they were to focus. Yeah, I definitely see what you mean. And that was kind of the point I was touching on when I was saying the mentioning how it's all, the far north hemisphere I'm gonna go with that actually meddle in this is that even countries just don't attempt that much because it's that I mean some of these sports you have to have some ridiculous facilities to even practice like giant slalom and all that you have to have the facilities to even begin to practice so I see what you mean though that if it was an even level playing field everyone had the opportunity to be an Olympic athlete, especially in these random winter Olympic sports, I think that a lot of the current athletes would be pushed to the wayside.
Right, so that's not going to change unless Olympic athletes start getting paid hella money. It's, unless you're Michael Phelps and you just do it off of endorsements, but that's.
Well, that's one thing that was actually brought up in these Olympics is that the snowboarders and other extreme sports, they're not really amateurs at this point. I mean, they don't necessarily get paid, but they get huge endorsements and like ride for their. It's like saying how PGA golfers, like they get if they were just to play on sponsorships and like play with Callaway clubs or Nike golf balls or whatever, and they would get paid ridiculous amount of money to just use that, but they don't actually get paid for their accomplishments. That's what like Shaun White is not a poor man, and that's mostly because of endorsements specific. It's different though from like Michael Phelps, who gets an endorsement from like Subway for being in a commercial. And then Shaun White gets endorsements from snowboard like companies that make snowboards.
What do you want, Michael Phelps to get an endorsement from a pool company?
I don't know.
A
I'm
water
just saying
company?
that the ex and it's the same for, the X Games, the non-winter X Games.
Well, then what about NBA players? They're professionals and they play in the NBA in the
Yeah, well,
Olympics.
that's the that problem came about back in 96. Actually, was the first year that professional hockey players played in the Olympics, and I think it was a little before that, back in the 80s, that basketball players crossed the line. But I mean, it is kind of taken away from this, like, I was we were watching the hockey game earlier today, and seven players from the 1980 gold medal team for the United States never played a game in the NHL. That's crazy.
Well,
Any gold medal team that didn't have all NHL stars, we just wouldn't happen for hockey nowadays.
well, I think the US team this year only had like three All-Stars on it. Three NHL All-Stars.
They didn't have that many all-stars, but they had all NHL
Yeah,
players,
they all, yeah.
consistent players.
So the next thing I want to get to in regards to Olympics is why the hell some of these events are included in the Olympics and baseball is not.
I'm, you know, this could turn into a really long. This is planned to be a very short segment. This could turn really long. Baseball and softball getting dropped from the Olympics is, I'm gonna, watch my language here, but a horrible, horrible travesty.
Right. I
'Cause
think. Go ahead. Go ahead.
it's just it's everyone, at least in regards to softball, people are saying, oh, the United States dominates every time, and then the last time it's played, the United States only gets freaking silver. This is proving that they're wrong, that the United States doesn't dominate. And baseball, there's a lot of countries now, and even a growing amount of countries,
It's just the European countries that don't.
and that's growing even at this point. Like, there's a growing number of young Europeans that are being signed by professional teams. Max Kepler out of Germany, a 16-year-old out of Germany that was signed by the Twins for close to $2 million this last year. So it's growing. The fact that they're giving up on it now, I think, is going to really hurt the international success of the sport in the long run.
Right. It's all of North, Central, and South America play baseball. All of Asia, China, Japan, Korea, South, all those countries do.
Chinese Taipei, all the random World Baseball Classic teams.
Most of Africa doesn't, and most of Europe doesn't, but most of the rest of the world plays baseball, and they're not bad at baseball. Japan gave the US a run for their money,
Has
and
the US played in a final match for the World Baseball Classic yet?
I don't know.
The first one was Cuba and Japan. I can't even remember this last one because I lost so much interest.
Yeah, I do not care about the World Baseball Classic.
And that, but that's the problem, that they saw this coming and they were like, well, we'll make our own tournament, and it's just not the same.
No, it's not. It's definitely a poor man's Olympic event.
And at least if it was gonna remain the same and be amateur players, like college and minor league players, instead of the professionals that could not care less for the most part, it might like be a little more interesting because at least you'll have a high level of competition. But we got so sidetracked there for a
Yeah, well,
second.
I see why football isn't in the Olympics because it's
Football,
such a
because
physically demanding sport and it's not that popular outside of the
it's
America.
not popular at all outside of America, really.
There was a Canadian Football League, there's NFL Europe. People.
NFL Europe, first of all, contracted to just within Germany for a while, and now is completely gone.
Yeah, not football because it's so physically demanding and because it's not as popular as any other sport, at least outside of the United States. I think it's ridiculous that rugby is just now entering the Olympics. In 2016, it's going to be rugby's first year.
Yeah.
Rugby is not that big in the United
It's not even
States.
in 2012.
2016 is the first year.
Wow. I thought it was going to be in 2012.
2016. But rugby is a pretty big sport in
It's
most countries. It's yeah,
huge.
it's a very big sport in countries outside of the United States. I don't understand why it's taken this long to get even that sport into the
I
Olympics.
would say that it borderlines just behind, it's just behind soccer in Europe as far as popularity.
Yeah, and Australia and the Samoan countries, it's
South Africa.
right, there's Yeah, exactly. So the Olympics obviously are not a perfect system.
And we could definitely go into how ridiculous the Olympics are, at least the modern Olympics are anyway. Listeners might not know, but I am a history major currently, and I just wrote a huge term paper on ancient Olympics. And
Snoring.
yeah, I just wanted to throw this out there real quick, but it was a foot race originally, the Olympics, and now we've got like half pipe snowboard,
While shooting
giant
a gun
slalom
and
while
eating
shooting, yeah, like
McDonald's.
just the most like it's no connection whatsoever to the original Olympics. But yeah, I mean, I'm the Winter Olympics, the hockey game was the only event that I watched completely.
Yes.
And I barely watched more
Just
than an
the
hour of
one
anything
game.
else.
Just the one
Yeah,
game.
I didn't even watch the first time the United States played
No.
Canada.
And that was the second most watched hockey game, aside from the Miracle on Ice. I bet today has beat it. I bet today's
I would
game
hope
beat the
so.
Miracle on Ice. But I see, it's hard to say because I didn't watch one entire event because there's so many competitors and stuff. I watched like one person downhill ski an entire time. So the Olympics certainly aren't interesting, at least not to us young.
We watched the finals of the men's 5,000 meter relay, something.
The speed
The
skating,
speed
the
skating with
relay one that
that was
happened
the
on
one that
Saturday.
Apollo got his eighth medal.
Right. And the Canada won.
Francois Louis Tremblay,
Damn
just
hosers.
ridiculous. Like that name could not be more French Canadian.
Yep. I just can't wait for Canada to get excited about being more north on a map than us now because now they beat us in hockey. Those are the two things that they're expected to do. They should be super excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, we still win because we're not Canada, so I'm cool with it.
I'm for sure. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over this loss.
All right, well, I think that's gonna do it for part one. We talked about as much as Olympics as was humanly possible, at least for us. So we're gonna take a real quick break, and as always, our music is brought to us by the good people at Music Alley from Mevio. And we picked the music ahead of time yet again, and it's from a band called Elkin, and the song is called
I
Wire.
sit frowning and stare of violence and baddies, no upper teeth. Have a burger with my chips, my carefree have wings. I'm the stalker of mistake, and it feels like I'm
back. This is part two of episode seven, and of course, as always, it's the fantasy sports segment of the episode. And we were going to start it off a little differently. We're going to get to some either or pick a player kind of things, and also we'll have our in-depth player, a very special in-depth player today at the end of the episode. But we were going to start it off with a little bit of history, as I was talking last part. History major, I actually care about the past somewhat,
I don't care about the past.
especially when it comes to fantasy baseball. It's kind of interesting to look back and see, like, these things that are such a part of people's lives nowadays, where did they come from? So we're gonna start.
You make this sound so boring. Let's do it.
and So just real quick, I didn't know anything about the history of fantasy football, so I looked it up on good old Wikipedia, and it originated back in the 60s with some Oakland Raiders, Mark, at least some upper brass.
I've heard of them.
Limited partner Bob Winkenbach.
That's not how you say that.
Winkenbach, I'm gonna go with Winkenbach. That's a sweet name. Anyway, him and a couple other guys on a road trip came up with the idea, and back in 1962, they eventually created the very first fantasy football league. And while it did not come to fame until the 90s, really, that's where really all fantasy sports kind of blew up.
Internet.
Internet. It made it so much easier. Mark and I don't have that many friends in real life that play fantasy sports. In fact, most of them, when we mention it, look at us like we're crazy.
For starters, fantasy sports doesn't mean fantasy life. So we know people in real life. It's not like we know
No,
fake people.
yes. No, I meant people that in real life that like fantasy sports.
People from Davis.
Yes. The internet kind of made it so much easier to play with random people. You don't need to know them, especially when once Yahoo kind of started had it, and now ESPN has taken away, I think, the reins for the most part, as the like kind of automatic standard leagues
Provider of
provide.
leagues.
Yeah. But anyway, so baseball. Everyone, I think every fantasy baseball player kind of has heard the story before that the reason why it's called rotisserie league, at least rotisserie league, where different from head-to-head play, the two main styles of fantasy baseball for those that don't know. But the reason it's called that is it was in a restaurant called La Rotisserie Francaise in New York.
That's a very good French accent you have.
Thank you, thank you. I try. But so back in 1980s, there were a bunch of writers and kind of people that spent a lot of time thinking about baseball anyway, and they kind of all got together in this restaurant and they decided to draft their teams and kind of how they basically came up with how fantasy baseball is still played today for the most part.
Yeah, they came up with a basic system, which in rotisserie it's more based on stat categories. You get ranked if you're first in home runs or whatever. You get a certain amount of points depending on how many people are in your league. They came up with that system. Brilliant, brilliant men they were, and here we are today.
We would not be here, would it not be have been for that,
Maybe not right here.
talking about fantasy
I'd
sports.
be somewhere.
That's true. And no, yeah, that's what you keep having to correct it. Anyway, so and also fantasy baseball, like fantasy football, really blew up with the expansion of the internet, and now I believe upwards of 20 million people play fantasy baseball yearly.
It's much more people play fantasy football.
Yeah, fantasy football is easily the most played fantasy sport, mainly because it takes a lot less time than fantasy
Yeah,
baseball.
just one game a week.
One game a week, set your lineup. You often don't even have to change your lineup unless buys happen
Or
mid-season or
injuries.
injuries. While baseball takes daily transactions, at
You can
least
do weekly.
you can do weekly leagues, but
That's for the wussies.
yeah, no, daily transactions are where it's at. And fantasy baseball also has much more flexibility as in league rules than fantasy football. Fantasy football kind of has a set standard of statistics that you use in every league, and it just kind of depends on how many points you assign to each statistic.
Yeah,
While
fantasy sport, we kind of jumped right into the technicalities of it, but basically fantasy sports gives people, fans, a chance to pretend like they have their own sports team, and they get to make sure they could trade players, sign players as free agents, bench them if they don't like them, start them if they think they're going to be good this week. It's a game. It's like a board game. It's like a sport, but instead of actually doing things that require effort, you sit and you look at a computer screen. So it's nowhere near as demanding as almost any other game, but it's just as fun for people who like sports.
yeah, it kind of gives people who are really into the sport an outlet to like, really run wild. And for those of us that follow teams that tend to lose a lot, kind of makes the real season that much more interesting.
Right. It gives you If you have a fantasy team, you have an interest in almost every game that's happening every day, which is especially fun in baseball because there's 162 games. So every day you check the box score of the games and it affects you somehow. So instead of just if you're a Giants fan and they're having a down year and you don't really care about baseball, if you have a fantasy team, you care about every team in the Major League Baseball and you care about how each game goes, and it makes everything that much more fun.
Yeah, and especially with football, because the last couple of years there have been so many teams in the bottom of the rankings kind of just getting pounded on by everyone else, like the Rams, who will have the first round pick. We'll be talking about the NFL draft in the upcoming weeks as well as the combine occurred this weekend.
They're going to take CJ Spiller number one overall.
I would be happier with that than Sam Bradford, but like I said, we'll save that for an upcoming episode. So yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of did jump over the more generic stuff behind fantasy sports, but that's kind of where we come from and why we'll be talking about or what we'll be talking about for the second part of every episode of this here sportscast. So yeah, now we're gonna jump in to some either or kind of pick
player.
A player, we like to call it. Just kind of on the fly, Mark's gonna come up with some names and we're gonna run into that, and then we have, like I said, a very, very special in-depth player for this episode 7 of the No Show Sportscast. Mark, you wanna start us off?
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so normally you do this and you have it all prepared beforehand and stuff. I'm doing it today and I don't have it prepared. I just have a list in front of me of a bunch of players. So we're going to start with, would you rather have for this season Derek Jeter or Jimmy Rollins?
That's a pretty good question. Derek Jeter getting a lot of hype as far as being a Yankees shortstop, the captain and whatnot. And Jimmy Rollins had a really, really down year. I would probably still take Jimmy Rollins. He seems to have more, off the top of my head, more speed potential. They're both in amazing lineups and will hit near the top of that order, so their runs will be high. Neither of them will be great RBI producers, but I like Jimmy Rollins for a bounce back year. He had, you know, definitely a down year last year, but I think he'll improve. And I would take Jimmy Rollins over Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Jeter was a lot better last year. He had a much higher average. He had only one fewer stolen base, a couple less home runs. But I think last year Jeter had the better year. But yeah, for next season, Rollins is the guy. All right, so the next one we're going to do is going to be second base. Would you rather have Dustin Pedroia or Robinson Cano?
It's a pretty good question. Very different kind of players. It's kind of how you want to, you know, construct your team. Robinson Cano, much more power potential, no stolen base potential. Dustin Pedroia, not really a stolen base guy, but I think he definitely will be getting more than Robinson Cano on a regular basis. That's tough. I think I would probably for this upcoming season take Dustin Pedroia, but I could see in the next 3 year span Robinson Cano becoming a more valuable fantasy second baseman. Dustin Pedroia, I think, might have already had his career year is the problem.
Yeah,
his
well,
MVP year kind of went crazy and people were expecting him to continue that kind of production, and I don't think he's going to ever put up those. I mean, maybe another year or two. But
so would you say he was similar to guys like Aaron Hill and Ben Zobrist, who I have been saying this whole time wouldn't have him the same year as last year, and you this whole time have been saying that they would?
No, I think that's different.
I see.
I'm not saying that those guys are going to put up. I don't think Aaron Hill's going to hit 36 home runs again. But I don't. The way I've gotten your opinion for those guys is that you think they're not going to be valuable second baseman at all. I still think Dustin Pedroia is a very valuable fantasy second baseman, and I think Aaron Hill and Ben Zobrist. Although Ben Zobrist, there's some question as to where he's going to play now at this point. If Sean Rodriguez, who they acquired in the Scott Kazmir trade, if he has a really good spring training, we could actually see Ben Zobrist spending most of his time in right field this year, where he spent a fair amount of time last year. He's actually second base and right field eligible at the mothership in their standard regulation leagues. So I think that's fairly different. I'm not saying that Dustin Pedroia isn't going to be good. While I think you're saying that Ben Zobrist and Aaron Hill will not be good fantasy second basemen.
I've never once said that they're not going to be good fantasy second basemen. In fact, I've said that they are probably going to be top 10 just because second base is kind of shallow. They're definitely not going to get anywhere near what they did last year. I don't think that.
Yeah, we covered Aaron Hill, I think, and Ben Zobrist in some over-unders in previous episodes.
Yep.
But so I would take Dustin Pedroia for this year.
Okay, so the next one is going to be two guys who were nowhere near each other last year. Billy Butler or Lance Berkman?
See, this is a good question. Actually, I think I saw an article somewhere online about Billy Butler and how he's primed to blow up this year. And he was kind of much more on the upswing, I like to call it. And Berkman, I think, definitely on the downswing at this point in his career. I think Berkman's probably still going to be putting up better numbers this year, but they're going to be awfully close, I think. I think Billy Butler is, especially if Alex Gordon can bounce back, and now that they have Rick Ankiel and Scott Podsednik, kind of putting together some semblance of an offense, Billy Butler could put up some pretty good numbers for the Royals.
Yeah, Billy Butler's not going to be bad, but I think Berkman's going to come back and be better than he was last year. Last year was just a down year, and normally he's much more consistent. Obviously, because he's younger, you're going to want term, but for next season, I think Berkman's the
Yeah,
guy.
I think that's fair, but I think Billy Butler's in the next couple of years could, soon become a better 1 year option than Berkman.
Right. Okay, so next, we're going to go to catcher. Would you rather have these two guys who were supposed to be super good last year or the year before? But now they're kind of terrible. Giovanni Soto or Russell Martin?
I knew who one of them was right away. I'll take Soto, and I don't think it's going to be close. I was actually watching, I think I referenced this every week so far, but I was watching MLB Network, and they had this
Are you
interest.
on their payroll?
I might be.
You wish.
Send the check to P.O. Box, something, something, something. But Giovanni Soto, they were doing this interesting piece on guys who lost weight over the offseason. Giovanni Soto has lost 35 pounds and put on a considerable amount of muscle as well.
His problem in the first place, he shouldn't be in a position where he is able to lose 35 pounds. As an
Exactly.
athlete, he should always be in a peak physical condition.
Like Pablo.
Like Pablo. Well, I'm not saying every athlete's in peak physical condition, like that bobsledder guy you were talking about.
Yeah.
He's
Anyway, I think Giovanni Soto had a really bad sophomore slump after being Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. I think he has much better chance at bouncing back. I'm not sure either of these guys are going to be great, but I mean, Russell Martin, Joe Torre broke Russell Martin. And now, I think hopefully they're going to cut down on his games a little bit and let his per game production go up. But Russell Martin, you could just see last year that the wear and tear of like he played way too many games at catcher. And they've never really had a decent backup, and that's kind of been the problem. They still don't really have anyone. They have like Brad Ausmus, I think, on the roster.
Yep.
But they really, really, really need to cut back on Russell Martin's overall play if they want his ratio production to go up at all.
All right, so I'm gonna throw something new out there that we haven't really done. It's kind of like pick a player, but it's more expanded. So these guys are ranked four, are ranked five, six, seven, and eight at outfield according to ESPN.
Outfield rankings.
Outfield rankings:
Okay.
Jacoby Ellsbury, Matt Holliday, Ichiro Suzuki, Grady Sizemore. How do you rank them?
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Matt
Matt
Holliday,
Holliday.
Ichiro Suzuki, Grady Sizemore.
I can say right now Ichiro's gonna be last
Okay.
out of that group. I also have I believe I'm on record saying that I think Jacoby Ellsbury might actually improve his offensive numbers playing left field this year. But I would probably put Jacoby first,
Okay.
barely,
Okay.
and then Sizemore. Holiday Ichiro.
I would have mine would be pretty much identical to that, but I would have Sizemore first and Ellsbury second.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be very close. Yeah, it still remains to be seen. I think I've said before, he's supposedly healthy, but he's got a very young, inexperienced, unproductive team around him, and he might be losing his right fielder Chu to the South Korean Army,
Right.
which would be, I mean, he's probably going to be the second most productive hitter in that lineup behind Sizemore this year. They have a lot of potential, but I think this year Sizemore's overall numbers might actually, at least team base numbers like runs and RBIs, might struggle. He's going to play a full season. He's never been a great average guy, but he's going to put up possibly He has a potential to put up 30-30. I'm not saying that he will this year, which is why I think that I would still have Ellsbury ahead of Sizemore. But they're definitely very close.
Right, so Sizemore was eighth. He was last, according to ESPN. They were in the order I listed them. So ESPN has them Ellsbury, Holiday, Ichiro, Sizemore. So Sizemore's not eighth at outfield. I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me who is ninth and tenth on the outfield list, according to
I
ESPN.
know who number 10 is, due to a certain podcast that I listen to. Number
Okay.
10 is Adam Lind.
Right.
And number 9, I do not know.
Jason Wirth.
I was gonna guess Jason Worth. I should have just guessed. Yeah, there's some crazy Jason Worth love going around these parts. I believe we actually had those two compared to each other in one of our first.
Probably. Look at us. All right.
Yeah, that's way too. I guess I'm being proven wrong every year that Jason Worth keeps putting up numbers at this
Yeah.
point. I'm still not that much of a fan of
Well,
his.
that's what ESPN has been saying, is that outfield is sort of shallower this year than it
Yeah.
has been in the past. So guys like that'll be in the top 10. Okay, so for this season, would you rather have Tim Lincecum or Roy Halladay?
I think I'm already on record, and I think you're already on record
I
as the
just yeah,
opposition.
I just want to hear you. We should let's do it.
Tim
Let's do this.
Lincecum, I'm gonna go with.
Okay, why?
I think the NL West is a much weaker offensive division than the NL East. I think Halliday's, if you factor in the parks, Lincecum's park helps him out a lot. And I mean, I know there's. I don't know why, but there's this offseason been questions about Lincecum's health, and I think people are just.
It's because of the whole arbitration thing. The
Yeah.
Giants only offering him eight.
But that's. And the Giants, I think, only are doing that because they're gambling on him maybe not keeping up this. I mean, two Cy Youngs in his first two full seasons. That's kind of crazy. I think the last person to do that was Clemens. And I'm not even sure that Clemens did that.
Right.
But. Lincecum, like you Lincecum's the complete opposite of your usual right-handed power pitcher. Like if you say someone's 5'10", 5'11", 1.70 or whatever Lincecum is, I'm completely guessing there. Yeah, I
Right.
know he's not 6 foot. You're gonna expect them to be some sort of left-handed soft tosser like Jamie Moyer. You're not expecting, mid to high 90s heat. And crazy ass two-seamer and all this like the arsenal that Lincecum has, you're expecting someone with that kind of arsenal to be like 6'7", like Roy Halladay or Justin Verlander's up there. It's 6'5", 6'7", or so. So I think that Lincecum is kind of being knocked down a little bit just because of his height, but I'm not I don't, there's nothing to warrant that at this point. It's speculation, and I guess that's fair because that's really what this all is at this point. But I don't see knocking Lincecum down until he actually does something that questions his health.
Sound like a lover scorned. So my opinion is that Halladay will be the more valuable fantasy pitcher. If I had a baseball team and I wanted to choose my number one pitcher, I would choose Tim Lincecum over Roy Halladay. I think Tim Lincecum's probably a better pitcher, not only because he's younger and cheaper, but because he can throw the ball harder, he can get way more strikeouts. I like strikeouts. So Tim Lincecum will have more strikeouts than Roy Halladay this year. Tim Lincecum will not have a better ERA. He will not have a better WHIP. He will not have more wins. So,
That's a fair argument.
so
I'm
the,
not convinced that that's true,
that,
given like
no,
what I was
it's
saying
of course
about.
it's not written in stone. In
Yeah.
fact, ESPN has Lincecum. They have the projections for their stats, and the only stat that they project Halladay to have better than Lincecum is wins.
Which is completely fair given the teams they're on.
Yeah, no, Halladay is gonna reach 20 wins. I feel comfortable saying that because he's on a great offensive team.
Someone on, I can't even remember where, if this was online or TV somewhere, someone said 30, and I laughed so hard when they said
It's not
that.
impossible.
That's just, no one's gonna win 30 these days.
Why?
Just 'cause, no one pitches that much.
Everyone pitches over 30 games. Everyone pitches 35 games.
Yeah, but no one wins that percentage of their games. The Phillies aren't that good.
The Phillies are pretty good, and they're in a division. Even though you said it was a better offensive division, it's really not that much better offensively. The Phillies are better than any team in the NL West, but Roy Halladay doesn't have to face the Phillies. Roy Halladay faces the Braves, who aren't bad, and if Jason Hayward's in the lineup, will be better. They have to face the Nationals, who are pretty bad, except for
They're
Ryan Zimmerman
improving. They've got Nigel Morgan and
and
a
Adam
couple other
Dunn.
guys,
Yeah,
yeah.
but they're a below-average offensive team.
Yeah.
They have to face the Marlins.
Who I think are going to be pretty good offensively this
If
year.
they can have Mike Stanton and if they can have Logan Morrison, they'll be okay. But without them, they have Hanley Ramirez and Dan Uggla, and that's about it.
Cody Ross, Cameron Maypin,
You're digging pretty deep there, my friend.
Emilio Bonifacio.
Yeah.
No, he's not going to start.
I agree with you that the ballparks that Lincecum will get to pitch in are better because his division does have better,
I mean, aside from
aside
Colorado,
from Coors Field. But I think the offense of, I think aside from the Phillies, the Dodgers have the best offense of any team in those two divisions, the NL West and the NL East.
it's probably fair, yeah.
And I
I think it's a
think
pretty big step down.
from the Phillies
Phillies
to the
to
Dodgers,
Dodgers.
yeah, probably. The Phillies have been to the World Series the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They're not a bad team. I think the Rockies are going to have a pretty good offensive team. I think the I don't think the Diamondbacks, Rockies are going to be any worse than any team in the National League East. The Padres are going to be terrible. They're going to be so bad. So we're not even going to talk about them. But all right, so that took long enough. I say Halladay, you say Lincecum.
Yeah, and I think with that we can jump to our honored in-depth player of the day. And in honor of Canada somehow finally in two games and in overtime finally outscoring the United States, we're going to talk Joey Votto. First baseman right now for the Cincinnati Reds. He's going to be playing the entire season pretty much, except for the last month. He'll be 26 for pretty much the entire season. He bats left, throws right, and last season his at least fantasy worthy stats were he batted 322 with 25 home runs, 84 RBIs, and a 567 slugging. So really, quite impressive numbers. I believe he spent a little bit of time on the disabled list. He only had 469 at bats in 131 games, but anytime someone has a 981 OPS, that's an impressive player.
Yeah, he played 20 fewer games in 2009 than he did in 2008 for about 60 fewer at bats, but he had the same amount of RBIs. He had quick math skills tell me he had 13 more runs, and he had one more home run, and he had six more doubles, and only four more strikeouts. He was so much better last year than he was in 2008 that if he played a full season, he would be talked about among the top first basemen in baseball. And he already is, but first baseman is such a deep position. I think he would be up there with Adrian Gonzalez, Ryan Howard, if he had played the full season, because he would have easily gotten to 30 home runs. He hit 322, which is really good, and he would have had over 100 RBIs, over 100 runs scored. He would have had everything you would have expect from a first baseman.
Yeah, now looking back at last season's news, I'm reminded that the time he spent on the disabled list was an anxiety and depression driven. So
He
not
lives in Canada. What do you want?
either. Actually, I think it was something to do with the passing of his father,
That
but he
makes me.
also had a problem with his inner ear, an inner ear infection, which caused dizziness. So, but it wasn't like
I feel
it
like a
wasn't like
douche now.
a It wasn't like a broken hamate bone or, a calf strain or like one of those normal injuries that you would expect from an injury-prone player. So I don't think that people should go into this season expecting anything other than a full season played by Joey Votto.
He's only 26, like you said. He's not going to turn 27 until the end of this season. So he is just entering his prime. He's almost there. He is going to be a pretty good baseball player. I don't like to say that about someone from Canada. I'm not a fan of Canada. They're a good hat and they're good at
Yeah, in
hockey.
case you haven't realized it at this point, we don't like Canada.
But Joey Votto is one of the few good things to come out of Canada, just like Jason Bay and Justin Morneau. Baseball players who can rake are okay by me.
Yeah, and drafted back actually all the way back in 2002 in the second round, he kind of worked his way up and like you were saying, he can rake, plain and simple. And there is the question, the Yonder Alonso question, and possibly actually Todd Frazier could factor into this. The two top prospects most people would consider for the Reds, working their way up the system, both actually fairly close to the major leagues. Yonder Alonso happens to play the same position as Joey Votto.
Yeah, they're not going to threaten Joey Votto at all.
That's what I wanted to bring
Neither of
up.
them are as good of a hitter as Jody Votto. They both,
Absolutely not.
th yeah, they're not bad. They're good prospects. They're going to have to either move to the outfield or some third base or
Well,
something.
the question right now is, Yonder Alonso plays first base. Dusty Baker made a joke about him playing catcher, but that's not realistic. So one possibility people were throwing around is Joey Votto is athletic enough to play left field. So they could possibly put Joey Votto in left field and Yonder Alonso at first base just to kind of get both bats in there. Because Yonder Alonso, I mean, if you look at him, dude can't play left field.
I'd rather have Joey Votto in the outfield than first base, so I think that can only help him.
Yeah.
Because first base is so deep, and out, like we said a second ago,
Yeah.
outfield is
It
sort of
would great,
shallow.
and especially for the year that he has dual eligibility, that's just going to improve
Right.
his value that much more.
He'd be like Adam Lind in the outfield, who, according to ESPN, is a top 10 outfielder.
Exactly. I would take Joey Votto over Adam Lind. I would say that right now.
Would you?
Yeah. But the reason I bring up Todd Frazier, who's kind of listed as outfield, second base, third base, whatever to get his bat in the lineup position, he could very well find his final home in left field, which could then put a hamper on the Joey Votto in left field, Yonder Alonso in first base.
Regardless of what happens with those two guys, Joey Votto's not losing his place in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna find a way, I think, to get all three bats in the lineup somehow. They're hoping Frazier sticks at second base so he doesn't become a factor, but Yonder Alonso's gonna probably push, well, he's not gonna push Joey Votto to the outfield because that kind of makes it sound as if Yonder Alonso's gonna be more valuable, but they'll put Joey Votto in the outfield, I'd say. Maybe this time next year we'll be talking about Joey Votto as a left fielder.
Be okay with it.
Yeah. But anyway, I think we've talked enough about
Canada.
the Toronto native. So that's gonna do it for us here at the No Show Sportscast. We will be back next week with episode 8. And keep an eye out on the blog. I know we've been saying this for a while, but in the next possibly 2 weeks maximum from now,
Spring break is coming up soon.
spring break is coming up for me and Mark, so we'll have plenty of time to complete the top fantasy prospect list, and then we'll be releasing that in post form, text form on the blog, and then we'll be discussing our thoughts on that on the ensuing episode whenever we do release that. So, once again, that's going to do it for us here, and we will talk to you in a week.